The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We have already had a conversation with Charles Barkley 30 minutes ago. And now Joe Tessitore, who is on the call tomorrow night for the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving. Joe, great to welcome you back to the program. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and it's really cool to have you with us on this Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and Linda and to all the Feinbaum viewers out there. Very excited to spend the Thanksgiving deep into the SEC with what I think is just one of the better Egg Bowls we've had in some years. It reminds me a little bit of some of the juice we had going into that 2014 game, Paul.
Yeah, Joe, I know we talk about the Iron Bowl, and you were the co-executive producer of Roll Tide, War Eagle, so I don't need to educate you on that rivalry. But this rivalry in recent years has really eclipsed the Iron Bowl for unbelievable drama.
You know, I think Alabama-Auburn has bigger branding. Ohio State-Michigan has bigger branding. But I'm not sure there's a rivalry that has more pure vitriol and hatred and means more in terms of the identity within the state for the fan base. And especially, and you bring it up in terms of the recent history. Heck, we got a starting star quarterback and a Heisman contender in this game and a guy who's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick. Well, all you have to do is go back to his freshman year and remember what happened at the end of the third quarter, right, Paul? I mean, Matt Corral throws the touchdown pass. Helmets are ripped off. Punches are thrown. We got four players ejected. And to really understand the foundation of his Ole Miss career and to think about where it's gone, it's a fascinating story. We got the chance, our crew did, to spend some time with him yesterday. And he said, I'm very careful as to what I say this week. Very, very careful. But he's a guy who's obviously matured a lot. He's very disciplined. He's an incredible leader. He's not so happy with how they played down the stretch of last week's game and what was a sandwich game and the lack of offensive production compared to what we typically have seen out of Ole Miss this year. So I think they're going to be firing off tomorrow. But on the other side, I think Will Rogers does not get enough attention nationally, Paul. I think this is a guy who's having as fine a year as anybody has had, and he's getting better each and every month. I think we're in store for an incredible primetime rivalry game on Thanksgiving night.
Talking to Joe Tessitore, and Joe, the two coaches are interesting, and it's been a theme really for a week and a half. We had Lane on, I think, last week, and he likes to talk about how he does not hate the other guy. And I mean, I know Nick Saban follows the same blueprint, but in the Egg Bowl, you're supposed to hate the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, the origin of why we have the Egg Bowl is the fact that fans came out of the stands and were picking up wooden chairs and hitting rival fans over the head with them. So that's well understood when it comes to this game. It's well understood by the players, too, if you see the actions of recent years, not just what I just described in 2018, but what Elijah Moore did a few years ago and time again on both sides of this. But Lane and Mike, we talked to yesterday, our production crew, and they're staying the course with what they've been saying. You know, Lane's out there saying, hey, it's football. You really shouldn't just hate somebody else because of a certain school they went to or a certain school they root for. Paul, that's how we make money, Paul. That is how we have an SEC network, isn't it? Because in this league, the fans do feel that way. And I think we're going to have a really rowdy atmosphere tomorrow night. A safe atmosphere, but a rowdy atmosphere.
Let's get to the field, because you're so good at looking at film, and I know you and Greg mix it up quite well together during the broadcast. But when you mentioned Ole Miss lately, they have been very banged up. But where are they physically right now for this game?
I think they're better, and I think, you know, they're going to have their receivers back at full strength. I think when you look at this game, you really look at the Mississippi State side of things, because what you see is a team that, as the year goes on, listen, year two of the Mike Leach offense, we talked about it all preseason. We saw it early on, but now you really see it as the season goes on. the receivers' comfort with Will Rogers, of everybody being on the same page, of understanding how the air raid system is supposed to work, of it being, you know, understood with that silent communication of where to find the open space, of how to run the routes. And you see Rogers not just checking down to the running backs, not just taking what's available to him, but now you're getting the intermediate and you're getting the deeper shots taken and completed. And then they're running the ball a little better. You say, well, they don't even run the ball. Yeah, actually they do, and they're running it. And this is something I think Greg McElroy is going to show tomorrow as to how much more significant it is with some of their run concepts. And even DJ Durkin, the defensive coordinator for Ole Miss, said to me yesterday, he said, it used to be you watch Mike's offense and every so often they'd throw in a run play just because he's bored. That's not the case anymore. So you're getting a more balanced offense. You're getting an offense that's playing at all three levels of the passing game. You're getting an offense that has a quarterback who has a lot of confidence with his receivers. And then defensively, you know, they're solid. They're really, really solid at all three levels. So they're a team that, yes, has had some ups and downs, yes, has taken losses, but is very, very capable of earning a win on their home field against a top 10 team. Now, on the other side with Ole Miss, I really think last week you want to put a line through it, Paul. I think you don't want to look at that Vanderbilt game and put too much into it. I think it's sandwiched in between Texas A&M and this big rivalry game. What's on the line is so significant. It's not a given that it's the Sugar Bowl, but it's likely that it's the Sugar Bowl. And no matter, you got to think you're playing for a New Year's Six. You got to think you're playing for something very special. You're playing for the first 10-win regular season in program history. I expect Ole Miss to be playing very hungry and very focused.
Talking to Joe Tessitore before we wrap up here about the Egg Bowl. Going back to where we began, Joe, because for a couple of years, everybody got into the act about the antics that go on. And then it still continued. And I know that we're not hearing as much about it this week because it does seem like a calmer aura, especially because of the coaches. But is that a message that these coaches even bother to send now? Or do they just assume that the players know the mistakes of the past have been very costly?
I wouldn't think so. You know, obviously, they don't want penalties. They don't want stuff that affects a game. They don't want key players ejected from the game. But I think it's very hard to rein things in right before kickoff here. I think this is one of those where, you know, they're going to be ready to bust through the doors of each locker room to hit the field goal.
Joe, listen, with the game tomorrow night, and you being one of the world-renowned food connoisseurs, what do you do for Thanksgiving while you're in Starkville, Mississippi?
This is strictly a football work day, Paul, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Listen, I'll miss the family up here in New England. I'll miss it. For years and years, Jesse Palmer and I would spend Thanksgiving together. He'd come up to the house, and we would feast all day before he would go in and do studio work. And I miss having football family and friends. You know, we've had years in recent years where my son, who's about to have his senior day at Boston College, would bring down all the linebackers and all the specialists down, and we'd be going 25 deep with, you know, starting off with the homemade pizzas and all the charcuterie and having pasta before we even get to the traditional Thanksgiving meal. But tomorrow is a work day. Tomorrow is sitting there and just fully focused on the Rebels and the Bulldogs and getting ready for what I think is going to be a sensational primetime game. Paul, I am curious, though. Growing up in Memphis, what was your go-to on the Thanksgiving table? What was the one thing that if I said you could smell it again, you could taste it again, you would dig into for your Thanksgiving of years past?
It was my mother's dried stuffing. It wasn't not dressing, but stuffing. And she made it very dry and I could just eat it out of the bowl. Turkey was okay. The pies I didn't really care about, but the stuffing was all that I wanted to grab onto and devour.
Well, Paul, I hope you have a big bowl of stuffing tomorrow on your Thanksgiving, and it brings you back some memories of your mom in those days.
Well, Joe, a pleasure to have you on. Happy Thanksgiving, and look forward to seeing you very soon.
All right. God bless everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody tunes in for a great one tomorrow night. We're looking forward to bringing it to you.
Egg Bowl, 7:30 ESPN. And we will be right back. We hope you'll join us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. It is great to have you here on the day before Thanksgiving. Already we've been able to talk to Charles Barkley and Joe Tessitore. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Joe in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Second time caller here. How are you today?
Well, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about, after 11 weeks, the distractions are gone. Penn State got it done with James Franklin. What do you think?
I have been somewhat baffled by this season, and I understand wanting to keep him. I think he's a good coach. He was coveted by others, but I thought that was a rather long extension.
You got to do something with all these contracts. I mean, look at Mel Tucker. I mean, you got to keep up.
No, so I think you're right. You can't do it halfway anymore. The good news is, if you're a Penn State fan, that takes it off the board. He's not going anywhere. But you do have to wonder, when does this program get back to where it was a couple of years ago when it was in the Rose Bowl?
Right. I mean, it's put up or shut up now. I mean, he's got to produce. But the best part about the contract is, you know, I think, you know, what he fought for was that 35 hours of private jet time for his family. So I'm really happy to see he got that.
Yeah. It's where, I mean, for us normal people that travel like everyone else, that does sound extraordinary, but it also helps, get over the fact that coaches are gone all the time, especially recruiting. So I do understand that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just playing. One more question, Paul. It is Thanksgiving. How do you cook your turkey? I peg you as a traditional guy.
Yeah, I am. And you could also peg me as someone who doesn't cook. So that would I've dabbled in it in the past, but No one will trust me beyond the minor things. My wife would not trust me cooking a turkey. But I am not exotic when it comes to holiday food.
No, that's okay. Enjoy your stuffing. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very
much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do. I do like turkey, I definitely don't go down the dessert route, though. It's a dangerous road with all the great Thanksgiving pies. Jim is in Michigan. Jim, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Jim, we're doing great. Thank you.
You sound a little bit like Paul Harvey today with your voice, but I just wanted to.
Jim, I wish I sounded like Paul Harvey.
Well, I'm a Michigan fan here, but just being realistic, I don't expect much of a showing this Saturday. I think they probably lose by 2 to 3 touchdowns to Ohio State. But that brings up a second point that I wanted to bring to your attention. As I listened to some of your audience in the South, especially those Bama fans, it really feels like they don't want to get into the playoff. I feel like, too, they don't really want to play Georgia because I think they know what's kind of coming for them. What do you think about that?
Well, they're going to see Georgia anyway in Atlanta, so I think it's impossible to completely answer that question. But all I can say is this, Jim. I was in Birmingham earlier this week. I was in Tuscaloosa last weekend. And while there is a little bit of angst, I don't know anybody from Alabama that's afraid of anybody else, especially Georgia. Judge Chris is in Raleigh. Hello, Judge.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I first of all wanted to wish you and all of yours and all your listeners the very best Thanksgiving. We have so many difficulties, but we got so much to be thankful for. So first of all, happy Thanksgiving. I know, first of all, the caller just before this said he thought Alabama was a little scared of Georgia. I don't believe that. I think they would relish the opportunity to prove themselves. But the Clemson South Carolina game, it looks like it's 11-point betting margin. Can you explain that? That doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, Judge, the only thing I can tell you on that is, and I sound like a broken record here, but I'm just repeating what I've been told. A betting line is not what you and I think of the game. A betting line is the public's perception of the game based on how they are gambling on the game in Vegas and wherever you can place bets. So a lot of that is simply Clemson is one of the two or three biggest national brands in the country. Even during an off year, South Carolina is not. So if you're looking at that game and you think about what has happened in the past, you look at the seasons, Clemson looks pretty good right now. They're coming on very strongly, as you know. South Carolina is winning games, but I think you have to be impressed with what they've done at home.
Yeah, I think so. I think Cat Daddy's going to be happy. I'm going to stay home, and since it's going to be 40 degrees, I'm going to stay home by the wood stove and watch that one. Hey, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Sir. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Let's check in with Wild Bill in Venice Beach.
Well, Paul, glad you had old Joe Tessitore on there to put a leveling on the operation on tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I did want to call and thank you that y'all weren't able to get to Starkville this year. We were able to slide by and just come by silently and come up in on the other side. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, we were, in fact, we were on the verge of going there early in the season, and I think that was the week you guys lost to Memphis, so we rearranged it. You don't want to go if you can help it to a campus after a bad loss. But I miss Starkville because I have a close friend that lives there, and I don't get to see him very often, so it's always, and you know him, and it's always one of my favorite trips.
You wouldn't be talking about Templeton, would you?
I would be talking about Larry Templeton. Anytime I can get a free meal in Starkville paid for by Larry Templeton, it's a good day.
Well, he's got enough put away. He knows how to take care of it. So
yeah, he jokes with me that I owed him a meal, and I'm thinking, you got more money than I'll ever see, Larry.
Well, he's a very frugal man. He made the most out of those $6 or $7 million till we started getting a check from the conference. But
That's funny.
So, but other than that, I mean, it's certainly an interesting day. I'm like everybody else. It's been a long time whenever both sides had good teams, good quarterbacks, and then we'll see where we have the chance to have a good football game. And these two guys seem to have it to where, I guess the only one left to swing a fist would be Corral on his way out from California to prove his point, because Leach ain't got his boys. They ain't even thinking about such a thing. They like playing.
Well, I hope it's a clean game. It's too good of an event to be marred the way it has in recent years. Thank you very much for the program. Leonard is up next. Hello, Leonard. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. First of all, happy early Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you.
First time caller, man. But I watch the show all the time. Just never was able to get on. I will say, just to kick things off, I do think that a lot of times people criticize Alabama because they have such a high expectation rate because of their past. You know, good or bad, wherever we fall this year, that's fine with me. I'm not the critical Bama fan that hate everybody if you beat us. But I do have a question for you. My question is, we've been second place for a while now, kind of back and forth. I think they jumped Ohio State ahead of us to predict just in case we get to be that two-team loss to be able to play in the playoffs if we lose. Do you think that's possible for us to – I mean – it just wouldn't be right. Where did they put us if we lost the second game? Where did they put us? Number four, you know. And so I'm assuming they going ahead and dropping us back number three. What is your take on that?
Leonard, first of all, I think the committee put Alabama at three for this reason. They struggled against Arkansas, which is a good team, while Ohio State won by seven touchdowns. Against Michigan State, which was a top 10 team. So I think that was easy to figure out. I'm still not sure about Alabama getting in if they lose to Georgia. Some of it will depend on Cincinnati needs to keep winning and look good. I think Oklahoma State is a troublesome team right now. And, you know, you got Notre Dame out there without a conference game, but with a loss only to Cincinnati, which will, you know, at that point could be a top four team. So Alabama had better play the game of its life in Atlanta and still lose and leave people thinking that there simply is nobody better than them other than Georgia. Thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Let's continue. And Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hey. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for the letting me on. All Thank rivalries you. Aside, I just want to say condolences to the loss of your colleague, Cecil Hurt, like another rival, Bo Schembechler. Cecil was legendary, one of the greats.
Thank you.
I called you back when OSU lost to Oregon, and at that time you said it was almost as if Ohio State was forgettable. And now we see that they're one of the most unforgettable halves of football, college football this year. My question is, since the committee said that a two-loss team can get in and a one-loss team can jump in undefeated, if Ohio State has the same exact game type of performance this week that they had last week, do they jump number one? Considering Oregon's 11, Michigan State's 12, Arkansas is down at 25.
I can understand the question, but I don't think that will change. And Georgia has just been so dominant, and I think at this juncture, it would be foolish to move them, knowing what they have next week against Alabama. Their schedule has been badly hurt by Clemson falling out of the top 15, completely out of the top 25 at one point. But that was still a significant win. They played Arkansas and Kentucky. Both were top 10 teams. No longer are they.
Hey,
so I don't think you would make that move right now.
One other question. Do you think that Ryan Day went wrong by pulling the team out at the half? I think that Alabama would have kept them in, and I think that it would have been valuable for them to play a full game at high performance. Do you think pulling them out at the half is detrimental?
I don't. I frankly think Alabama often plays guys too long. It's a professional way, and it always pains me to see somebody get hurt at that point. I don't think it matters. I think you're up by 49 points. What is the point? You don't need anybody to pad their stats. It's time to get your second and third string in there and get them valuable experience. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Judy is up next in Alabama. Hello, Judy.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was really upset listening yesterday. I couldn't get through yesterday, but the people that call in and they lump the Alabama, they say all the Alabama fans. Well, first of all, you can't lump us all together because we all have different opinions. And I happen to really appreciate Greg McElroy. And the day that you were not there, you were missed, but Greg and Co did a great job. I mean, I thought they did an outstanding job. And they say Greg talks too much. Okay, that's his job. I mean, good gravy. Who doesn't know that he's a talker? That's what he does. He's super smart. And I was a fan when he played. And I'm still a fan today. And I just hate when people call in and just lump all the Alabama Bama fans into one group and say all those Bama fans, they do this, but they don't, you know, one or two people, even me, can't speak for the whole of Alabama. So I was really upset about that, and I'm so glad I got to say that. And I wanted to call in the day Greg was doing the show, and what I wanted to tell him was I bet his mom is so proud of him. I mean, I would be. Of course, I'm almost old enough to be his grandmom, but anyway, different story. And the guy who called in earlier today and said he didn't think that Alabama wanted Georgia, I mean, oh my gosh, what planet is he from? Alabama fans can't wait to play that game because, I mean, it's just it'll be a great game, win or lose. And that's what it's all about, is getting to Atlanta and playing. So, first of all, he didn't know what he was talking about either. Just my opinion.
Hey, thank you very much, Judy. I agree with you. Walt is up next.
Paul.
Hey, Walt.
Hey, Paul. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Just wanted to tell you a little bit of family lore from history of the Egg Bowl.
Sure.
It just so happened to me, my uncle was the captain of the Mississippi State football team in 1930. And the story he told me that the reason they came up with the Egg Bowl was that in the prior years, right when the game ended, that's when the fight started. And these things started getting out of hand. So the chancellors, presidents from the schools decided they would come up with this trophy ceremony. And they would, right after the game, rather than the game just developing into fistfights, they would actually have a trophy presentation, and one team would line up on one side and the other team would line up on the other side, and the captain of the football team, which happened to be my uncle, would present the trophy to the winning team's captain. I don't know if they still do it that way, but that's the way my uncle related that they did it back in that day. And like I said, he was the captain of the Mississippi State football team, and many years later, I graduated from Ole Miss, so just to let you know, our families can get along, but it was always a sore subject for him that he had to be the first one to hand off the Egg Bowl to the Ole Miss football captain.
Hey, Walt, thanks for sharing that. That's quite interesting. Let's check in with Tripp, who is in Starkville. Hello, Tripp.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So how do you think this rain is going to affect the air raid? And do you think Lane Kiffin's out after he loses the Egg Bowl this year?
Well, I have not checked the forecast. So is it supposed to rain during the game?
It's supposed to start at about 6:30.
Yeah. I hate to hear that. Well, what's the first cliche you hear when talking about the rain? It's wet for both schools, so you're right. It probably would have a more of an impact on one versus the other, but I don't think weather will determine this game.
Well, it's good to hear.
Hey, thank you very much. Enjoy the game. The game, of course, tomorrow night. We talked to Tess about that a minute ago. Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a kind of crazy question here. I'm hearing rumors that Heupel from Tennessee is being considered for a Florida job because he has such a good standing in Florida. And also, if Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC game, oh, lost it.
Well, first of all, I have not heard that, and I frankly would be very surprised if Josh Heupel were to leave or even consider leaving after 1 year. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Joe, who is next up. Joe, good afternoon.
Yes. This is Joe Hardison from St. Augustine, Florida.
Wonderful.
I'm an Alabama fan ever since 1956, when Bart Starr was the quarterback.
Right.
I've heard some people on this show say that Alabama was afraid to play Georgia, and I just wanted to comment that Alabama's not afraid to play anybody. A lot of us who are Alabama fans, however, do recognize that beating Georgia is pretty remote, because when you lose...
Joe, you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm listening to it on the TV now. I just want to finish what I was saying, though.
So, Joe, somebody told me you said you were calling from a cruise ship. Is that correct?
Yes.
So are you still in the harbor, or are you out on the sea?
No, we're in the harbor.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say that the losing six first-round draft choices, you really can't expect to have a championship game the next year.
That's fair.
And
well, thank you for the call.
By
the way, I find that to be extraordinarily complimentary, that guy on a holiday eve is boarding a cruise ship, and the first thing he wants to do is call us. If you just jumped on a cruise ship, what's the first thing you would want to do? Let's take a break. More to come. More guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we've got all kinds of things Saturday morning. Marty McGee at 9, followed by SEC Nation Live from Auburn. we are back. Great to have you with us. Let's talk to Randy, who is in Texas. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Apostle Paul.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you feel better.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I think you brought up something. Tim Tebow being a recruiter at Florida. And you might have mentioned it. I don't know exactly if you said it just like that. But that would probably be a good thing for them right now.
Yeah, I think what Florida is in desperate need of is a surefire recruiter, and I don't think first of all, I don't know if Tebow would want to do it, but
right.
I think he would be fabulous and would. I can't imagine a better recruiter than him.
I agree. And another question: you was talking to Charles Barkley earlier. When have you ever thought about when you want to just sit back and retire and just say, hey, I want to do the same thing or just travel or do anything besides what you're doing now?
Yeah, I think, Randy, you always think about those things when you get older. I really have never wanted to do that because I truly love doing this, but I understand why people do think about it.
I'm 50 years old. I think about it all the time.
Yeah. What would you, ideally, what would you like to do?
Well, I'm a big-time hunter, so that's exactly what I would do. I would travel and hunt.
What is your, what do you mainly hunt, Randy?
Deer,
yeah, my brother-in-law does that.
If I had the money, I'd be all over everywhere, different countries, just to see the land, too.
Yeah, my brother-in-law went to, I think he went to, where did he go? South Africa, big game hunting. And, but yeah, you know, I think you just said the key word. Barkley has the money to do whatever he wants. And
yeah, I don't.
Yeah, most of us don't. When you get right down to it, we can all wax poetic about, man, I love my job. It's my passion. But most of us work because we need the money.
Yeah, I work the oil field. I understand it all too well.
I guarantee you that. when you do the oil, are you how many weeks on are you at a time?
Well, I live about 4.5. I'm in West Texas right now. I'm out by Midland, Texas.
Okay, sure.
And I live close to Waco. So
right.
I'm about 4.5 hours from the house. It's depending on the contractor, really. If the contractor works if they work 7 days a week, I'm here 7 days a week.
Right, right.
But I am close enough where I can go home if I need to. So it's not too bad.
Okay, well, I admire you. That's not easy to do what you're doing.
I've been doing it for 25 years. It's you get used to it.
So when do you think you're going to say goodbye to it? When do you think you're going to retire?
I have thought about that. I think at 60 years old, hell or high water, I'm calling it, I'm done.
Well, I admire that.
You got to put an end to it one day. I mean, I don't want to work the rest of my life.
Yeah, I thought Barkley had such a great point about that, and I don't, you know, there are just some people, we all watch it and we all see it, that you say to yourself, why is that person doing it at that age? And, you know, you always hope that that person isn't you that they're saying it about.
Well, you can't take the money with you, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I have heard that a lot. It doesn't matter what you have; it's not going to travel. So you may as well spend it.
Yeah, because the government's going to get it.
Yeah, I don't want to identify who the people are that I'm talking about here, but there was two people that I was very close to, and they died. I mean, they were certainly in that range where people start having health problems. And I'm like going, how did they, I mean, these people never spent a dime in their life. And how did they ever accumulate that much money? Because they never spent a dime. But what did they do? But they never did anything with it, is the point.
Yeah, you didn't have a life.
Yeah, I have been extremely poor in my life. And I think I would just as soon spend it and be poor again than
I do that regularly.
Enjoying
I promise you. Yes, exactly. Me too.
Well, you have inspired me. So this will be my last day on the show. Thanks.
Yeah, you so
thanks
full
for
of
the
it.
Memories.
You so full of it. I do really do enjoy your show, though.
Hey,
I
thanks.
I try to get you on here every day.
You be well.
Yes, sir.
And be safe out
you
there.
You have safe travels.
Those oil wells. Milo is up next. Hello, Milo.
Mr. Feinbaum, good to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your playing hurt today in a couple of different ways. So my condolences to your friends.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to pick your UT brain a little bit, kind of come out from left field with a question for you. Kind of in a broad sense, what do you think about NFL coordinators coming down to the NCAA level? And more specifically, how about Jason Garrett down here in Gator Nation?
Yeah, I mean, at one time I thought Jason Garrett was a really good coordinator, but he has been on an amazing losing streak. I'm not sure his issues in New York have as much to do with him as the quarterback they chose. And they all thought, remember, they went with Daniel Jones to replace Eli Manning, and I think that's the problem. I mean, the NFL is really simple. You either have a quarterback or you get fired. You either get the right quarterback. Let's take a break. We have a lot to do on the program. We've already had Joe Tessitore and Charles Barkley. Tom Luganville will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.